But man, I'm just it's just been a great weekend, and I don't sit up here thinking everyone in here has had a great weekend, but I pray that tonight when you leave, you will be in that mind frame that God is good, and have a heart full of gratitude and thankfulness. You know, it's just been one of those weekends where sometimes with when the weather and the circumstances of your life and everything just kind of comes together, it's just been kind of one of those weekends. And you're having a good weekend when even the smallest things you're like thankful for and grateful for and like moved by. One of the things I've started doing here recently is I'm trying to drink less coffee. And I'm a coffee drinker. I'm a coffee lover. I'm not a coffee snob. I'm not one of these people who is real picky about what type of roast or blend, or I don't go to Starbucks a lot. Nothing against that. I'm just a black coffee kind of guy in copious amounts. That's kind of been my thing. And I drink it all day and I drink it at night. But I'm drinking a lot of Sprite Zero. Anybody drink Sprite Zero out there? Hey, yeah, Krista, that's my drink. And I was just sitting there drinking an ice cold Sprite Zero, and I was just sitting there going, man, this is so good, and just thanking Jesus for the Sprite Zero. That's when you know you're having a good weekend, right? That's when you know you're in an atmosphere of gratitude. And I was just kind of sitting there thinking, man, thank you, Jesus, for the Sprite Zero. You know, this is so refreshing, and I'm going to preach so good as a result of this Sprite Zero. So anyway, we're going to... this is probably not going to be what would be considered a traditional Holy Week or Palm Sunday sermon, whatever that is. We've already been to Scripture and read a passage from John, and the video referenced a similar passage in Matthew. But this sermon will certainly be applicable to what we're thinking about and what we're reflecting on this week and every week. And so, I want us to see what the Lord has for us. We know that the Holy Spirit is with us here tonight, and he's brought the message. I know I've said that before, and I try to be cute when I'm doing the introduction and whatnot, but he really has brought the message, right? So whatever I do up here tonight, whatever, I say or so on and so forth, really doesn't matter that much, because God has something to say to his people. So if you're not excited already, get excited, okay? Because he's got something to say. So just as a quick little bit of reference, the Holy Week is a string of 8 days starting today that allow us an opportunity to reflect. That's what I think tonight and this week is so good. It's such a great time of holy, reverent reflection and remembering and all that kind of stuff. And so this is an opportunity for us to reflect upon the gigantic shift in humanity Jesus's sacrifice on the cross launched. Okay? This shift in humanity that the crucifixion caused, okay? And it starts with Palm Sunday today. And that's the day when Jesus enters the city of Jerusalem. This week will lead us through the Last Supper, and we'll have communion, his crucifixion, and then ends on Easter Sunday with his resurrection. And, that is our hope. That is our foundation. All of our hope is in Jesus and his resurrection. It's all about the resurrection, okay? And so this is the basis of Christianity. His sacrifice launched the new covenant. And if you're a believer in here tonight, you are under the new covenant. You are a new covenant Christian. And this is the covenant that God promised and many had prophesied throughout the Old Testament. Each day of Holy Week, each day this week, allows us to literally peek into the heart of our Savior at an intently close proximity. Okay, I challenge you this week as you're reflecting and praying and fellowshipping with friends and family. Spend some time in the Word, man. Get in the Gospels. take your pick, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and just read the events of the Holy Week as they were written in the canon of Scripture, and be blessed, and see the heart of Jesus that's beating for you, okay? Personalize it. Make it deeply personal as you read that and say, these events that are unfolding before my eyes from the canon of Scripture were for me, and be blessed. His love for us, His great, amazing, mind-boggling love for us is reflected in every significant step toward that cross. Every breath up until the last breath, and His resurrection. So, did I do an okay job of framing the Holy Week? Hey, here we go, right? We're launching into this thing, and it's time for excitement, but it's also time for reverence and reflection and just absolute gratitude. You know, the Bible says that if you want peace in your life, if you want to live in an atmosphere of supernatural peace, the peace that passes all understanding, the kind of peace that doesn't make sense, the kind of peace that is impervious to circumstances and the world around you, if you want that, the Bible gives you a clear, simple prescription to get it and to live in it. Do you know what it is? Be thankful. Be thankful in everything. Live in a atmosphere of gratitude. When you pray with a spirit of thankfulness. And when you do, when you appreciate the taco you're going to eat later or an ice cold Sprite Zero, when you are that specific about how good God is in your life, the Bible says that the supernatural peace that passes all understanding will come and will guard your heart. And when your heart is guarded, guess what else is guarded? Your mind. Amen? That's good news. Okay, well, we're going to be in 1 Samuel tonight. You may have never heard a Holy Week sermon preached out of 1 Samuel, but there's a first time for everything. And so we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 19 and 25. And let me just tell you this. As you know, Bobby and I are working on our doctorate. We're still in the early stages. We're about to finish up our second semester, so we're pretty excited about that, to get one school year in the books. And so, man, we're just involved in all this study and all this fellowship with other people from all around the world. And we've been talking a lot about using Old Testament narratives. And I'm telling you, you will be blessed if you learn how to study and dissect Old Testament narratives. And the books of 1 and 2 Samuel are just amazing. They will bless you tremendously. So we're going to be there tonight. We're just going to exegete just a few verses here, 19 through 25. So let's get started. And all the people said to Samuel, "Pray for your servants to the Lord your God, that we may not die. For we have added to all our sins this evil, to ask ourselves for a king." And Samuel said to the people, "Do not be afraid. You have done all this evil, yeah? Yet, do not turn aside from the following Lord, do not turn aside from following the Lord. But serve the Lord with all your heart, and do not turn aside after empty things that cannot profit or deliver, for they are empty. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you a people for himself. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you, and I will instruct you in the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king. God bless the reading and the hearing of his precious word. I told you so. I told you so. I told you so. I told you so moments. We've all heard them. We've all said them. Those moments are no fun if you're on the receiving end. Amen? Anybody get an I told you so moment this weekend? I did. Me and Devin took a trip, and it was great, man. We went to Memphis, and we got to see Monica Warren get married and fellowship with Archie and the family, and it was a beautiful, beautiful time of worship and fun and fellowship. But anytime me and my wife take a trip together, you know, there's always an opportunity for I told you so moments, and there wasn't any fights or anything that came out of it, but I think we had at least one of those, honey, on the way to Memphis yesterday afternoon and home last night. But anyway, I told you so moments can be not so fun if you're on the receiving end. And we see one of these moments in the verses of Scripture we just read. We see these moments here in 1 Samuel when the Israelites, the children of God, come to terms with how they have sinned, what they have done. Even though they knew that they were the children of God, they were the apple of God's eye, and he had their back, they had sinned, and here they were coming to terms with it. See, Samuel, the prophet, had warned the people many, many times, as prophets do, to turn from their ways. But as the children of God often did in response to prophets, they didn't listen to him. If you read the entirety of the Old Testament, or if you start in Exodus and read all the way through to the end of the Old Testament, you'll see this cycle. You'll see this broken record of sorts of this story happening over and over and over and over and over with the children of God, and the warning of the prophet and the ignoring of their sin and the warnings and how God's judgment would come and so on and so forth. See, the children of God then, and the children of God now, that's us in this room, have times when the desire to be revered, upheld, respected by the inhabitants of the world around us cause us to fix our gaze and our hearts on goals that are just not consistent, or they're inconsistent with pursuing holiness through obeying God and his commands. Notice when I was reading those scriptures just a few moments ago, I made a really pregnant pause there. There's a Bobby term for you. Doesn't Bobby like to say pregnant pause, and it's rubbed off on me. But I made a pregnant pause there for only, and it was only Samuel saying, hey, you are to only fear the Lord. Or in other words, as I just stated, only seek the honor and respect of God. Nobody else matters. And that's the sin that these people had been engaging in. And so we'll look at that. See, the Israelites were guilty of something we're guilty of almost every day. Did you know that? Almost every day. They were guilty of coveting the other nations around them who had mighty kings of great stature and great size and charisma. They were jealous of these other nations that had these mighty great leaders, and they wanted somebody like that to lead them in matters of war and social structure and communal stability. Even though they knew that it was God Almighty himself who had set them apart as a people, they still wanted a man. Now, can you imagine that? Yes, you can. We don't quite do it that overtly, I wouldn't say, but we do that. We know who we belong to, but we still sometimes forget, or at least we live in such a way where we want to be revered, respected, and protected by a man. See, they knew full well they were the chosen people of the Most High God. But they were tempted to be like everyone else. Go with the flow. Be like everybody else. Do what the other person is doing. Keep up with the Joneses, as they say. See, the pressure to conform to the surrounding world is great, and we must keep our eyes fixed on the one who has all the wisdom and all the power and all the resources. And this is what I'm talking about as the framework of our reflection in the Holy Week that starts tonight. Because this is our, I would say this is probably our greatest challenge during our Christian walk, during this journey with the Holy Spirit in becoming more like Christ. Our biggest challenge on a day-to-day basis is the fact that we live in a world, but we're not of this world. And we have influences all around us all the time in the form of people and media and music and so on and so forth, and politics and the news and everything. We have all these influences that tempt us to look for comfort, for security, affirmation, confirmation, all these things somewhere else but at the cross. And so today is as good a day as any. It's the best day to slow down and to refix our gaze. Refix our gaze. See, one thing about Samuel that I love, he could have taken a moment when the people were sorry for their sins, for coveting, wanting a man to lead them, and that somehow God wasn't enough. He could have told the Israelites, "I told you so." He could have been haughty or arrogant and fussed at them for not heeding his warnings, but he didn't. Samuel's words to the Israelites are overflowing with grace. I don't know if you heard that when we were reading those couple of verses, but they were overflowing with grace. And he acknowledges that they are correct in realizing their sin, but he makes it clear that they are to move forward in grace instead of standing still in guilt. And if you walked in here tonight under a cloud of shame or guilt, this message, I hope, will bring you out of that. Amen? That is what God's word, that is what the gospel does for those who believe. Takes away the shame of your sin and your shortcomings and your sin and your covetousness and all of those things. See, God does not abandon us when we make mistakes. Why? Because we're His children. God finds happiness in taking care of His children. He is not looking for opportunities to make us suffer for the wrong things we do. Instead, He lovingly corrects us the way that Samuel corrected Israel. See, even when we try to run from God, He remains faithful. When we turn from our sins and come back to God, He accepts us with open arms and gracious instruction. Martin Luther said back in the 16th century, he said that the Christian walk, or the sanctification experience of the believer, is a journey that's wrought with times of repentance. And it's a beautiful thing. It's beautiful because no matter how many times you do it, the blood of Calvary still stands. The sacrifice that Jesus Christ made at Calvary and was buried and then resurrected after 3 days, that work still stands. So that repentance is just God with open arms saying, "Of course I forgive you. Come back to me. You belong to me, and I love you." See, the gospel teaches us that repentance and forgiveness, repentance and then followed by forgiveness, happens when we lose all faith in the ability of our flesh and we embrace Him as our sole source of life, of righteousness, of provision, and peace. There is no peace. There is no life. There certainly is no righteousness or joy in anything that's temporal. We have to be reminded of that. Our ability to trust God's wisdom and ways is never a manifestation of our best efforts, but God's faithfulness. His faithfulness in giving us the perfect measure of faith. God loves us, He saves us, and then He says, trust me, and oh, by the way, I'm going to give you the faith to do it. Isn't that awesome? It's never a matter of you getting your act together. It's never a matter of you pulling yourself by your bootstraps and doing right. It's never about that. It's always about Him. If you're looking in the mirror to see how you're doing, you're looking in the wrong place. You look to Calvary to see how you're doing. That's how you're doing. Jesus, that's how you're doing. Not the mirror. See, Samuel told the Israelites not to turn back to the idols they had previously worshipped because the idols could not help or rescue them. We all have idols. Their idols were a lot different than ours. They looked different and so on and so forth. And sometimes when we read Old Testament narratives, they seem ridiculous. We're like, God, who would do that? Who would take out all their earrings and collect them and melt them down and make some thing to worship? That's dumb. But really, is it any more dumb than us, the children of God, who look back at the cross and the events of Calvary and still worship idols of this world? God asks us not to go in certain directions because He knows what is best for us. And He knows true salvation comes from Jesus, not idols. We know that. Be reminded. Reflect on that this night and this holy week. Just as a good shepherd wants to protect his sheep, God wants to protect those who belong to Him, and He will. See, Samuel here in these verses that we're meditating on tonight shows us a wonderful picture of grace and conviction. See, grace says this. Grace says, I forgive you. And conviction says, what you did was wrong. Let's go in this direction now. It's a beautiful thing. So as we reflect, here are some things. Here's just a couple of questions, and then we're going to be done. I want you to take these into your heart, and I want you to stir them around this week. Think about them. Pray about them. Be grateful for these things. What is one way God has shown you amazing grace when you didn't deserve it? I know a lot of you people in here. I may know every one of you in here tonight. I think I do. If there's some new faces, I want to get to know you. But I know a lot of you people in here, and if we turned on the lights and I went down there, I could say, hey, I remember when God did this for you, and I remember when God did this for you, and I remember when God did that for you, and then you could share a lot of other things. But I want you to think about something amazing that God's grace has done in your life, something that you clearly did not deserve, and it was just off the charts great. And see, as we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ during His most blessed week, there's an opportunity not just for reflection, but for great, great refreshing. Don't you need to be refreshed? That is this week, my friends. Be refreshed as you consider His grace in your lives. Here's something else I want you to ponder. Is there any sin that you need to ask forgiveness for? Turn away from, and then move forward. Create separation from it. Now I'm going to go ahead and say the answer is yes, but really think about it, right? We all have that. All of us have something that we need to be done with. Amen? We all know that we have an enemy in the devil. We know he's the accuser of the the brethren. The name Satan or Satan means accuser of the brethren. And Jesus said he's the author of all lies, so he's our enemy. So what's his strategy? Well, he lies to us. He wants the children of God to believe something about themselves that just ain't true. See, what he wants to do is what I referenced just a moment ago. He wants to displace your gaze upon the cross of Christ as a measure of how you're doing. And he wants to tempt you to look in the mirror as a measure of your righteousness and your worth. Children, we must be steadfast in knowing that our only source of righteousness is Jesus Christ. And it is he alone who has saved us by his grace and intercedes for us constantly at the right hand of the Father. I love that image. I love it because I love the fact that he saved me by his grace alone, and now he keeps me by his grace alone. Yes, I'm down here fighting this battle, winning and losing. Ultimately, we've won, but I am crucifying my flesh daily. But guess what? Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding, keeping me until he comes back for me and for you. Is there anything you need to that you need to show grace to today? See, as people of grace, God has given us a measure of grace to give to others. He's gifted us. He's given us grace. So who do you need to give grace to today? Who do you need to give some mind-blowing, unmerited favor to? You can. And only you can. Did you know that? It's only the believer, it's only the children of God that can give out grace, that has access to grace. So who do you need to give grace to today? See, the indwelling Holy Spirit who resides in all of God's children gives us that power. See, the thing that you want is so close. You almost believe if you close your eyes, you can reach out and touch it. The thing that you want, the life that you want, the heart and the mindset and the peace that you want. Or maybe the thing your heart desires is in your hands, but it's slipping away. You can feel it. So you react, trying everything you can to just keep this thing with you to stop it from falling away. See, in these moments, our sinful nature can take over if we're not faithful and cause us to fail. But God is faithful. Think about tonight, just now. When was the time the Lord showed up in your life recently? When were you in need? When were you desperate and the Lord showed up? Some of you in here tonight at the beginning of this Holy Week, man, you can go ahead and come forward. Some of you, and I know some very specific stories in this room, some of you are in a period of waiting, right? And it's hard. The waiting's tough, isn't it? You need the peace that passes all understanding all the time, but you really need it in the waiting, don't you? We're waiting on the Lord for something. What does finding hope in the Lord mean for us in this time, or for you in this time, if you're in that time of waiting? Just know that there's peace. And this Holy Week can be a major pivot point in your life. This could be a change of season for you. Amen. Thank the Lord. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you so much for your word. What a privilege it is to worship you, to love you, to call you Abba, Father. Lord, I just lift every heart in this room up to you. Lord, I pray that you would give everyone in this room great peace as they come to know you through the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you. Love you, love you. Lord, I pray that you will just continue to use us in your service. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a divine burden to carry the gospel to our community and to beyond and beyond. And Lord, thank you for the way that you have blessed Crosswind. And Lord, we just give you all the praise and glory and all the credit for your goodness, your faithfulness, your mercy, your long suffering. And we pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.